If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Check.
Test 1, 2. All right, that's cool. All right, so you want to look at me?
Okay.
Yeah, and get comfortable.
Yeah,
sitting at the kitchen table here,
know,
you know
right?
what I mean? And, all right, let me move this out of the way for you. Okay. Test 1, 2. 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo, and this is the Electric Drum. And this morning, it is my pleasure to have with me here in the studio, Kate Henderson. She is a 2015 Miss Black New York, USA. And you might have heard us on the radio station. We are sponsoring the Miss Black Connecticut, USA pageant here in our state. And we're going to be doing that in September and the fall. We're going to talk more about that. But we have Kate here with us. We're going to talk about her life and you know, and the pageant. How you doing?
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
I'm absolutely home. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so tell me, where did you grow up?
Okay, so I was born in Hartford, Connecticut. And
right.
I grew up between Hartford and Rochester, New York.
Okay, let me get that mic a little closer to you.
Okay, okay.
Right. Yeah, that's better. Okay, and so tell me about... You know, growing up in, well, first, well, how long did you live in Hartford?
Okay, so I want to say we moved out of Hartford when I was about 4 or 5.
Right.
And then we transitioned to Rochester, New York.
Okay, so it's cold up there, close to the Canadian border and all of that. So what was life like up there?
Okay, so I grew up in a very large family. I'm 6 out of 7 on my mom's side, and I'm 4 out of 15 on my dad's side. So you can just imagine the number and that dynamic alone. With that being said, we had limited secondary discretionary income.
Yes.
So we just, you know, had to take that transition to move to a new area to just kind of start over. And growing up in Rochester, obviously, you know, we still experienced the same disadvantages being a big family. But, you know, we made it there.
Right. That's great. So early on, I mean, what were some of the things that you liked? I mean, and some of the mentors that you might have had while you were in Rochester. Now, you went to... Bishop Kearney High School in Rochester. Tell me about going to school there.
Okay, so Bishop Kearney is a private Catholic school in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
And again, you can think of the tuition costs or, you know, how could someone, you know, who had limited secondary discretionary income, you know, go to a private school and get such great education. Well, I would say throughout, you know, my childhood, being around a lot of boys, I was always into sports.
Okay.
So I excelled at soccer. I excelled at basketball. Anything I kind of get my hands on and keep my time busy, I was doing it. Always been a great scholar. Always was into books in the midst of just, you know, may not have a meal that night, or I may not be able to wash my clothes because we didn't have a washer. Or, you know, just seeing my mom go through the experience of sometimes being a single mother due to domestic violence, or sleeping in the car because the shelter is too full. So just different adversities throughout my childhood, I would definitely spend my time in just leisure.
Mm.
So just going through that education system and spending time doing sports, I was sought out from from sponsors who really just believed in my education, believed in my story, mm-hmm. and believed in my talent. And I was able to then attend a private school. And from there, that education really just kind of became the forefront of my life because, you know, private school is really privy on education.
Right.
So through high school, you know, still facing the same adversities with my mom transitioning, really just trying to be on her feet, you know, moving out of a domestic relationship and... again, having a lot of children who look up to her, I realized that I needed to go to college. And that was the pivotal moment of my life, just really thinking about higher education and how can I help my mom.
Right. That's great. So who were some of your mentors? I mean, besides your mom, obviously your mom.
Yes.
Right? You know, but who were some of your mentors while you were there that sort of guided you also to the next step?
Okay.
Talk about that.
I think when it's interesting when I get asked this question, because obviously growing up in a disadvantaged area, you would think, you know, my mentors would be someone like Oprah or someone like today, like Michelle Obama. But going through just my adversities in my life, I would say my mom, because, you know, I can see her daily. I can see her experience her weakest and still wake up the next day and be as beautiful as ever. Mm. And I think that's the most encouraging, because I get to experience the role model of just being a woman. And I feel like the dying art of just being a woman is lost because we don't have those mothers who are saying, you know what, baby, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay that today we're not going to have maybe dinner, but we will, you know, things will change. So just like that motivation and that strength, she was my mentor.
Mm. How did she do it? I mean, seven kids, you said, right? Seven.
Yes.
Wow. You know, she should be here. Really. So we can ask her that question.
She's there. Sure.
Yeah. That's wonderful. That is so great. So now what sport did you play? Did all of them?
So it's so interesting, because I was like, for the longest, I was in love with soccer.
Right.
And then I transitioned to basketball, and okay. I was always like, you know, that one girl in the group of guys, just like on the street courts to like 10 p.m. at night playing basketball, you know?
Right, right.
I was always that girl, like, watch out for her because she's like the hoops. So basketball is my thing, and I still have a passion for it for today.
Right, right. That's great. That's great. So, you know, this is radio, so you guys can't see how she's dressed, but this girl is, she's kicking it right now on the fashion sense, man. You know what I mean? So, but you guys will see some pictures. So did you always have a flair for fashion while you were in high school?
It's interesting, because it started when I was, I want to say, around 7, 8, or 9. And I say that because, you know, I was always, I'm the 6th out of 7. So I have, my mom have 3 girls and 4 boys. And majority of the boys are older and closer to my age. So I would wear their clothes, and I would be the girl with the baggy pants and kind of like the oversized sweater. And, you know, being a child in elementary school, overdressed with, you know, large clothes, you may be looked at kind of strange. You know, bullying was a real result because of that. So the adversities from not being able to dress up for like picture day or like field trip day, or just being able to shop for clothes, sparked something. And one day I was in class. I remember this day so vividly. I was 10 years old. My teacher was talking about math. I was always ahead of classwork. So I was always that kid who did my classwork in 10 minutes. You know?
Right, right.
So I, you know, my head was in fashion, and I designed this line, and it was called J'adore. And it was like these models. I was like, you know what? I want to study fashion, because I see there's a need. Mind you, being 10 years old, there's a need for a community who of kids who can't get clothes. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to create a line, sell it to the thrift store where kids can just come in and pick their clothes for school. And that was kind of how that love for fashion started.
Right.
And, you know, throughout my years, I always knew, you know, that was the main mission. So, like, through my talent or through my sport, I will always try to be the best, you know, right. be the best.
Right.
And then one day I can truly do what I love.
Absolutely. This is Juan Castillo. You're listening to The Electric Drum. We're speaking with Kate Henderson. She is the 2015 Miss Black New York USA, you know, winner, actually. And, you know, she's here in Connecticut, and she's going to be working with the Miss Black Connecticut USA pageant here in Connecticut this year. As a matter of fact, applications are online right now. They're supposed to be, sent in by March 30th, but we'll talk more about that later. She's going to extend it just for you guys, because you're listening, all right? And it's going to be in the fall, September 15th through the 19th. And so we're talking about her life, and then, you know, we're at the point where she's going to school in Rochester, New York, and you know, she's playing soccer, and, you know, just learning a lot of things about life. Things are not really great financially with her family, 7 kids. Mom is like a hero to her. And has really, you know, been her mentor throughout all these years. So now let's get back. Okay, so now it's like graduation time. So it's like, okay, what?
Yes, what? So throughout, it's interesting, because I feel like my mom has always been that silent mentor. Mm-hmm. We kind of have that relationship where, you know, we're like best friends now, but just being a child and, you know, her being focused on what she was doing to make our situations better, the communication wasn't always verbal, you know? So she was that silent mentor. So I say all that to say, now that I'm in graduation time, she's married to my stepfather.
Nice.
Wonderful relationship. An amazing man. And he passed the colon cancer my last year. So him being the breadwinner, that figure, that father figure in my family, it really hit me hard.
Okay.
I stopped playing basketball. A lot of my decision-making was just really depressed because I didn't understand it.
Right.
But I had a boyfriend at the time, and he steered me to, you know what, really focus on just going through the college application because the time of his death was at the ending of my year. You know, he was always that dad. It's like, you know, I'm going to be there to watch you walk the stage, or I'm going to be there to watch you, you know, take you to prom. And he wasn't. And experiencing those things without him was super hard because he was the foundation of my family, unfortunately.
Right.
So, yeah. So just through that last year, just having that emotional disturbance and just realizing that there is a bigger picture, because here I am, you know, this young girl with great big dreams. I needed to pursue them somehow and find a platform to really just hear my voice, you know, and reach that young lady who may be going through adversities and say, you know what, I don't think I can do this right now, but I just want them to know that, you know, there's always a bigger picture. And sometimes in those moments, situations seem difficult and hard and like you can't get through it. But just keep going because you can. And I think that's my point where I'm
Great. Well, you know, March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. You know, I'm a colon cancer survivor.
I seen that.
Yeah. You know, so I understand, you know, and to all the men and women and everybody, please, you know, get tested. Because it's you know, you can be cured. It's preventable, you know. So you went to FIT. How did you get to FIT?
I know.
From Rochester, way up near Canada, all the way to New York City, right? And FIT is the Fashion Institute of Technology, you know, the famous school in New York for fashion. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's top 20 internationally.
That's right.
Really well-known school. Very proud of it. So I'm in Rochester, you know, going through these adversities, and I always knew that fashion was my passion.
Yes.
And I also knew that FIT was a very competitive school, as we're speaking of, very prestigious competitive school. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm just a small town girl in Rochester. I partner with Rochester Fashion Week. I've partnered with SWAN. I've partnered with the public library. I'm really well known in the community for volunteering my efforts and just like the fashion scene that was emerging around that time. And I was like, but I don't think I'm ready for New York. So as I'm like studying in high school, obviously I'm doing just kind of like research on bloggers who went to the different fashion houses school. And at this time, you know, they would just talk about advertorials, which is like daily stories on their life. Like, how was the school, if they really liked it, if it was really about the hype.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was reading those stories, like, I don't think that, you know, right now this is the time. So I started off at Buffalo State College.
Okay.
And I studied fashion design. Not too far from home, an hour and a half away.
Right.
It was great. While I was at the school, I did well. I served on the student government body as vice president for public relations. I hosted tons of fashion shows, which was raising awareness for collegiate students to dress for success. Because, again, you know, we're talking about monetary money, finances, budgeting. You're in school, college. We're talking about loans, you know, just the whole opportunity, just room for conversation. Obviously, fashion is important because we want to get dressed.
Right.
You know, we want to be seen like a certain type of image. So, yeah, you know, I was really just driven and passionate about image and just speaking to that girl who was just like me on how to look nice and just be that woman. But Buffalo just wasn't hitting it right. So, you know, I started to research some more and I found out about the National Student Exchange Program.
Okay.
And in that program is a few schools in the States does it, and you can go anywhere in the USA, paying your same tuition and just going to another school. So I hosted another school at Cal State Northridge, Los Angeles, stayed there for a year, and I got very involved with the People's Choice Awards, the NAACP Image Awards. I did a lot of PR for like Whitney Houston campaign and things like that. So I was really just involved in more of the reality aspect prior to, you know, just like getting that education. So I was getting both the education and reality. And from there, I was like, you know, maybe now I'm ready for FIT. You know, now I'm ready to go back to where it all started, that kind of stomping ground type of thing.
Right.
And I applied and I was accepted.
Great.
So from there, I then ended at FIT and I'm still involved heavily in the student body and the community. And I must mention that I am in the Educational Opportunity Program. Not too many people know about this program. So yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So now, while you were there, so you studied fashion design.
Yes.
Right? What was that like? I mean, you know, so tell me. By the way, I'm speaking with Kate Henderson. She is 2015 Miss Black New York USA. She's going to be heading and working with the Miss Black Connecticut USA pageant that's going to be happening here in our state, and it's happening from September 15th through the 19th. They're taking applications right through March 30th, but that will be extended. And by the way, Kay, can you just give them some information on that? We'll do that again at the end of the show, but how do folks get in contact with you?
Yes. So the Miss Black Connecticut USA can be found through online, MissBlackConnecticutUSA.org. Full word, spelling out, no spaces between each other. You can get in contact with us on our social media. We're heavy, same handles all across the board, at Miss Black Connecticut USA. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're heavily right now outreaching through email, so you can contact us by finding our email on our website.
Great, wonderful. We're going to get back to that because, you know, really got to talk about pageants and what they mean and what they mean to our community in particular. Okay, so you're at FIT, you graduate.
Yes.
Right? So what do you do after you graduate?
So I studied, as I've said before, image is very important to me, and fashion is just truly a passion. So when you put fashion and image together, I was, you know, doing a lot of studying under wardrobe styling and brand styling. So currently I have two companies, Cade's Mode and KM Creative. Cade's Mode, where I wardrobe style, I do a lot of freelancing through different magazines and different photographers or companies, such as Vogue or Harper's Bazaar, Elle, Cosmopolitan, or personalities, people who just don't have time to get dressed. You know, I just help them with their image. My second company, KM Creative, is more on the digital aspect. A lot of small businesses or brands have images that they're trying to portray across different platforms on social media where they're not cohesive or look like the same brand. So I kind of consult and help them to create that image or to refine their image that they have.
Right. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
And so how did the Miss Black USA pageant come into your life?
Okay, so just being a young Black woman, I've learned just throughout, you know, my journey that 47% of us, we find a hard time identifying with image across media. Mind you, being a young girl, I watch TV a lot, obviously. I listen to the radio. I'm on the internet. And imagery is constantly being shown at me daily. And if I'm not seeing someone that looks like me who's been through a similar story or just understand, you know, where I've come from in my voice, it's hard to feel like I am beautiful or I am accepted into society because I don't see anything that looks like me. So with that being said, throughout, you know, my adversities and obviously my passions, I outreached to pageantry. And I said, you know what, these are social organizations who do a lot of community work and empower women. So why not compete? Why not share my story or let my voice be heard? So that's how that started.
That's great.
Thank you.
Now, tell me about the process, right? Okay. You know, obviously, you know, most people, you know, they see the end product, right? Yeah. You know, like the finals, right? You know, and then, you know, then they see the winner. And then the winner goes through, you know, a year of the crown. And you know, people talk about that, right? You know, pageants are normally, you know, have an educational component attached to them. That's extremely important. Community service, right? You know, so tell me about the Miss Black USA pageant and what are the goals and your experience with, you know, after, you know, during your reign. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So the Miss Black USA was founded by Karen Arrington in Maryland, roughly in the 1900s. So like 1960s, 1970s, around that time.
Right.
And essentially, just pageantry in general, the first pageant you can think of is like Miss USA. Back in the 1960s, they had a standard written in their code that you could not be 10% African-American or Black to compete in the pageantry. And my numbers could be off a little bit, but it's written. You can definitely research this, that you just couldn't be a percentage of African-American to compete. So with this in mind, you would think that what is the standard or the image that pageant society is portraying? You know, are Black people not good enough? Are we not pretty? Are women not pretty? So therefore, you know, you have your different pageant systems that were being birthed around that time to counter that image or that tone that was being portrayed.
Yes.
the Miss Black USA Today, we strongly stand on changing the image of black women, promoting education. We focus on two of the leading issues in African-American community, which is health awareness, you know, and education. So definitely.
Great. Yeah. Great. Now, how did you get involved with the Miss Black Connecticut USA program? Talk about that.
Okay. So being Miss Black New York USA, and as you guys have heard my story, you know, I was born in Hartford, Connecticut, then kind of transitioned around. I always wanted to bring it back home in some way. So as I was doing my reign as Miss Black New York, and kind of that consisted of was traveling. I have the lovely leisure to go to Munich, Germany, Paris, France, Milan, Italy. I just left Mexico City this past January, just advocating awareness and my platform, which is Perfecting Your Voice, Enhancing Arts and Wellness and Education. As you, again, heard my story and experience, you know, some of the glimpse that I did share, art, talent, were two things that I was privy to throughout my youth. It was something I put my energy into. So I strongly stand on keeping those, you know, programs in the education system, like home economics, teaching a child how to cook, or, you know, showing a child how to play the guitar or listen to music and kind of connect with that side of themselves. So that's how the Miss Black New York USA definitely has just changed my life and how we involve, like, the daily routine. So from that, I was like, you know what? This is great. You know, why haven't more people heard about this platform? You know, I would go speak and people were like, I've never heard of the Miss Black USA. And I'm like, well, you know, we've been around for so time. So I felt like it was my mission to share that story, you know, or change someone else's life and give them the opportunity, you know, to just share their voice and, you know, the things that they've been through. So I was like, you know, why not come back to Connecticut? Like, it's a bunch of women here. Why not? So that's how that started for Miss Black Connecticut.
Right.
And it just stumbled from there.
Now, you know, some folks, you know, look at pageants as really being, you know, especially, you know, when they talk about, you know, like, just beauty and the body and all of that. Right. I know for a fact Miss Black USA is not all about that. Right. Can you explain?
Okay. So the Miss Black USA, we take women all shapes and sizes, all hair textures, all, you know, heights. Mm-hmm. We don't really have a requirement on the body. I feel like, in my opinion, I feel like we have a requirement on the personality. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a requirement on your character. We have a requirement on your standards because, you know, you have to be that type of woman. So, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's great, you know, and I think that, you know, so often, you know, in our community, you know, we're looking to elevate our young women, you know, and to give them a platform so that they can, you know, can show the world not only, you know, their outer beauty, but their inner beauty and all the character issues that you just mentioned, education and all that. And what a better way, you
Absolutely.
Know, that's fantastic. So, again, you know, tell us about, you know, the applications and the dates and how people get in contact with you.
Okay, awesome. So, yeah, this Connecticut USA this year will be held in the state's capital, Hartford. The pageant would be on September 15th through the 19th. It'll be a 4-day pageant weekend. We're currently looking for 3 women to represent the state crown's title, Miss Black Connecticut Junior Teen, age range 9 to 13, Miss Black Talented Teen, which is age range 14 to 17, and then Miss Black USA, which is age range 18 to 27. Now, we do have different eligibility and criteria, but our main focus is as long as you are born, you live, work, or are raised in Connecticut. And then for deeper, you know, requirements or eligibility, you can look online at MissBlackConnecticutUSA.org and just read if you're eligible to apply.
That's great. Wonderful. Kate Henderson, you know, we've been talking now for almost a half an hour,
and it's going
fast. I am so you know, impressed by you and your life. You are truly an inspiration to young women in our community. You know, let me ask one last question. Well, first of all, I'm going to ask a couple of questions.
Yeah, go for it.
But, okay, so what do you, in terms of your style, as far as your style, right, you know, clothing style, okay. You know, what? How would you describe it?
Eclectic.
Okay.
One day I could be this very like funky, cool, you know, fashionista. And then the next day I can be like in my Adidas sweats from the top to the bottom with the Adidas shoes and the Kango hat. Then I can kind of like switch to that hippie girl that's really flowy. So I just have different styles depending on how I feel.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Who's your favorite designer?
My favorite designer currently is Calvin Klein. Okay. I am very, very enthralled with the aesthetic of the line, or the collection rather.
Do you think that American fashion is sort of now, you know, like rivaling, you know, the European fashion at this point?
That's a good question. You know, that's a really good question. I feel like just fashion in general is not the same.
Okay.
Back in the day when you went to the ballet or you went out, it was kind of like, I'm getting dressed for this occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you went to the movie theater, it was nothing but black ties and women in nice dresses. Now when you go to the movie theater, people are just so casual. You know,
right.
Now when you go to opera, you know, you may get a hair few in there who dress up, but everyone's more casual. So I definitely right. think fashion in general has changed.
Just okay.
Like the expectation.
So what song do you got in your CD player, or are you streaming from your phone?
You know, it's interesting because
right
you know I've been following this whole Tidal rivalry and this Apple Music, and you just kind of get all of these new companies who have these programs for music.
Yes.
And I've been shuffling between Apple and SoundCloud, listening to a lot of London and Europe radio stations, and it's this one called Soul Collection, and they just have like the coolest vibes with the beats, and they kind of mix them over to like Drake songs. Or like
right.
single, so
okay,
I'm
great,
kind of, I'm
great,
kind of very
great. Do you watch television?
I do.
What's your favorite TV show?
Okay, I'm binge watching. I'm kind of feel ashamed to say that, but I do a lot of binge watching on like Hulu or Netflix.
Okay.
And right now I am like tuned into The Good Wife. Like,
oh, okay.
I feel like a lawyer. You know, I feel like I'm just there.
That's really
like,
cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
Thanks.
Okay. Favorite designer as far as shoes, because you know I got to ask a female about
Absolutely.
The shoes. Right? Favorite designer as far as shoes is concerned.
That's an interesting question too, because I feel like you know being you know that college student who has graduated and you know that startup business company type of woman, I'm not really into my style. So like who I dress like isn't really who I am because I can't afford the fashion.
Right.
So right now, like I'm really into Aldo. Like I love their
okay.
collection. I think their quality is coming back to where it was. Like their rise. And their preen collaborations,
right?
Definitely, Aldo.
That's real great. That's cool. That's cool. So, last question: what's the best advice you ever gotten from who?
Okay, that's a good question. It's so funny because I was just talking to my mom today, and she was like, she had said something a certain way. She was like, essentially, it was like slow down, like be patient. But it was this saying, like. A hoot and nanny, or you're moving too fast, or something like that. And I was like, wow, Mom, you're so right. Like, I feel so overwhelmed right now. I need to just slow it down. Like, I'm always going to have a lot of things to do. And I think essentially right now for me, it's about balancing, you know, and really like coming into the peace of that young woman, you know?
Right.
So I'm just like, okay, let me not stress out. Let me just chill out for a bit.
Right.
I'm like, Mom, I adore you. Like, you're so awesome. Your age, your wisdom, you just have it, you know? So
well, that's great. That's great. Again, folks, get in contact with you at the website.
Yep, Miss Black, ConnecticutUSA.org.
Okay, wonderful. And you know, you can listen to WYBC. We're going to be promoting the Miss Black Connecticut USA pageant. We're going to be there also. Our own Jessica Call will be a part of that also. I want to thank you so much for coming. I think you've inspired the community. You inspired me.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Juan Castillo with you. This is the Electric Drum. We will see you next week.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.